1 Corinthians chapter 13, what did I say? Chapter 11, didn't I? All right, sorry about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. I didn't want y'all getting there before I got there. It says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." When I became a man, I put away childish things. You know, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but the world is becoming a very immature place. Now, I realize that prosperity has a tendency to delay maturity. I don't know if you've noticed that, but in the more prosperous areas, maturity is delayed a little bit. If you go to some place that's very poor, you'll find a 12-year-old doing a man's work. Yes, you will, and he'll be mature. He'll be making good choices. He'll be taking care of his family. I've seen it happen. I don't know how many times in Mexico you'll find 12, 13-year-olds supporting their family, holding down a man's job and doing a man's work. But you know, where there's a lot of prosperity and a lot of protection of children, you'll find that maturity is delayed somewhat. You'll find 20-year-olds, 25-year-olds that still haven't grown up. Isn't that true? I get to thinking, you know, you folks here, I heard before we started these meetings, I heard several of the brothers and sisters stand up in the open meetings and mention how we need a revival. I mean, how we're dry, you know, we're weary, we're tired, things just aren't working like they're supposed to. We want to be touched by God, you know, we want these good things. And yet, I have to stop and think, you know, because we've had the same problems in Mexico too. All of us missionaries go through the same thing. The churches go through the same thing. We want to see souls saved. We want to see something happening. We want to see good things happening. But you know something? Sometimes maybe we are wrong in our emphasis and what we're looking for. Now, there are things that hinder revival. There's things that hinder revival in you. There are things that hinder revival, and God just will not revive you just because of that. You all mentioned several things. I heard enough revival messages preached before we ever started this revival meeting that it would have been good enough. You'd have heard those things. I mean, they mentioned forgetfulness of God's blessings, and they mentioned doubt of God's promises. These things are hindrances to revival. Also, you know, we could add on to those, and probably even more important, that sin is a hindrance to revival. Sin is a hindrance to revival. God will not bless you the way you're expecting it's a blessing even when he gives you a good chastisement, but he won't bless you the way you're expecting if you're in sin. And if you don't repent of your sin, and there's a lot of sin among Christians. Amen. Trust me, there's sin in my life, and I have to repent of it every day. Pride. God won't bless you if you're full of pride. If you're too proud, you won't admit you're wrong. If you won't change something, he won't bless you if you're full of pride. But there's one thing perhaps that hinders revival more than other things. And I think it's, at least in my experience, I think it's what I can call priority drift. Priority drift. Now that's technical language for you lost your first love. You know, your priorities started drifted. They sort of slipped a little bit. And what you used to have right up there on the number one rung of a ladder is not there anymore. You've got other things more important. You've got some things more important than a revival meeting, perhaps. Some people have a lot of things more important than a revival meeting or going to church. I remember when the most consuming thing in my mind was to understand the Bible. Boy, I wanted to understand it. I wanted to read. I'd read the book of Hebrews 10, 15 times straight in one day. I wanted to understand it. I couldn't figure it out. Something was missing. I remember that priority, you know. And of course now, it's a lot more difficult to read the book of Hebrews. Why? Because priorities have changed. In the same way you can have priorities change, and you'll start feeling dry, and you'll start feeling weary, and these things will begin to press on in upon you. All of these things ought to be addressed. Of course, priority drift. I mean, if you've lost your first love, like Brian was saying today, that he wouldn't be anywhere except for the revival. Where else are you going to go for revival? This is the greatest place. You know, some people, they like listening to music. I don't like listening to music. I can drive, say, 18 hours straight and not even listen to one song. But boy, put in an old Dave Jones tape, or I got all you guys tapes. I put in old Brian, I listen to old Brian for a while, then when he bores me, I'll put in old Steve. When he bores me, I'll put in Lyndall Kincaid, and I've heard all of those before. So I'll listen to it, I can listen to it for 18 hours straight. But something happens in our Christian life, and we start losing, I don't know, our priorities. Some things become less important to us. Well, all of these things ought to be addressed. And yet, I personally think you guys have addressed these things. Isn't it true that when you start feeling down, you start feeling weary and tired and dry, you start addressing things. You start praying a little bit more. You start fasting a little bit. You start reading the Bible a little bit more faithful. You start doing something. You start coming to church ready to praise the Lord and stand up and say hallelujah and sing. You do things to keep yourself revived. And yet still, week after week, you come saying, I'm dry. I'm weary. I'm tired. We're not winning souls. Well, there's some things you ought to consider before you just judge that God's given up on you. Maybe you ought to consider this. God deals with us and with all humans by visitations. God visits people. You know, it says over there in Genesis, it says that God went to Adam in the cool of the day. Now, why did he visit Adam in the cool of the day? Why didn't he just stay there all day long? I mean, he created this beautiful garden and put Adam in there. Why didn't he just stay there? Why wasn't he walking with Adam the whole day long? Well, I don't know. I mean, you can figure that out if you want to read the Bible. I'm not sure what exactly the reason is, but it does say he went and visited him in the cool of the day and called out his name. He obviously wasn't there all day long visiting with Adam. He divided up his times with Adam in a series of visitations. The cool of the day, obviously. You can see that happens all the time in the Bible, that God's always talking about visiting a certain people. And always talks about a time of visitation, a year of visitation, a day of visitation. And the Bible talks about God coming and visiting and talking and dealing. One time, it says over there in Numbers chapter 16, it talks about the time of visitation. It says, if these men are visited after the manner that all men are visited, and what's he talking about? Death. Comes a time when God visits you and you die. I don't know if you know, it says all men are visited that way. All men are visited. Do you know that every single man receives a visit from God? At least one. He's going to receive that one. The day of your death, you're visited. So there are visitations, and God separates our lives into different times of visitation. There's visitation for good. There's good visitation, and then there's visitation for evil. One time he says over there in Exodus, he says, when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. When I visit, I'll visit their sin upon them. And other times, we know it says over there in Psalms, many times the Lord visited us and we rejoiced. Everything went good because the Lord visited us. These are times of visitation. These are times of great revivals, times of great movement of God. These things, if this is what you're looking for, revival, a visitation, well, know what you're looking for. But don't expect it to be the exact same thing day after day, week after week, year after year. Because God changes his dealings with men. He comes, he blesses, and he goes. You say, no, God's always with us. Yes, in some sense, he's always with us. In some sense, he's not always with us, not in the same way. He obviously visits. Job says God visits for good and evil. Job said that we should receive good at the hand of God and evil at the hand of God. We cannot expect our life to always be good fortune, always be happy, always be pleasing, always be wonderful. Sometimes some difficulties have to happen. Isn't this true? God is not looking to make our lives always fortunate. You know, I got this red Suburban. Bought it a while back, and I've had just excellent luck with this thing. I've gone 110,000 miles without putting a dime into it. I mean, I did fix the brakes one time. But almost nothing, nothing whatsoever. And then all of a sudden, my transmission went out. Twice. So, you know, you wonder, what's going on, Lord? You know, you're giving me good fortune. You can't expect good fortune all the time. I used to lord it over Mike. Your dad, Mike Jackson, over there in San Luis Potosí, I used to lord it over him. He's gone through 9 transmissions on the same thing. You know, I used to have a good time. Now I'm starting to go through it, you know? You can't always expect everything to go well. You can't always expect to have victory every single time you walk out there to win a soul. You can't expect that. You have got to grow up and recognize that God is looking for mature Christians who can handle some difficult times too, who can stand in the day of battle and not run and not flee, who can actually stand up to some difficulty, some tragedy, some terrible things that happen in their life, or just day-to-day boredom of living. God doesn't want you always to have, you know, angels walking in front of you that you can see them. He wants you to walk by faith sometimes.
Amen.
Without seeing anything. Just to know God's still there. I can't see him. I can't feel him. But he's still there anyway.
Amen.
God's looking for Christians who can handle a little bit of strong meat. That's what he says. He says, Paul says, man, the time's way past. You ought to be able to handle some strong meat. You guys are still using milk. You still can't even handle the strong doctrines in the Bible. God wants you to grow up. He's looking for some mature Christians. You see, Paul says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, and nobody rebuked me for speaking as a child when I was a child. He says, but then when I became a man, I put away childish things. And it's high time for Christians to put away childish things.
Amen.
Especially Christians of this church. God is expecting some maturity in us. I feel the same way. I'm walking in Morelia, you know, preaching, and sometimes, I mean, we went through three colonias, entire colonias, preached in every single street, knocked on every single door, preached to every one of them, went faithfully to our Bible studies that we got, and we came out of there with not one soul saved in three entire neighborhoods. Well, you know, that becomes discouraging. I say, something's wrong. Something's wrong, and we begin to pray. I begin to confess Roland's sins, and Roland began to confess my sins. You know, something's got to be done. That's the truth. Somebody's sinning here, and we got to get something straight. You start fasting and praying and saying, Lord, what's going on? But you know, obviously, God expects some dry times. He wants you to grow up. Isn't it right for God to expect His missionaries to go through several colonias and just keep on preaching, even if nobody gets saved? Can't he expect that? Can't he expect some difficulty? Didn't he put Job through some difficulty? He didn't give everybody great times. Matter of fact, most of our lives are going to be somewhat boring. You know, children don't want ever to be bored. They always want to have everything go their way. You know, everything's got to be entertaining. But no, life a lot of times is boring. God wants mature Christians. I get to thinking about how the world is so immature. I mean, I really do get a kick. It's probably not right. I mean, maybe I'm being too harsh on the world because I'm a sort of a harsh fella, but I really have a hard time understanding some of the things people go through or people actually do. You know, in life, people have such an unreal outlook on life. Did you know I have known people who did not know where meat came from? Haven't you ever known someone who did not know where meat came from? What it was? Yes, I have known people who did not know that meat is dead animals. You know, all the animal rights nowadays, that still sounds like a terrible thing. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but animals don't have rights. Animals don't have rights. God says so. God says they are brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. We had a young man, just got saved. Hadn't been saved much, read the Bible, you know, a little bit. Hadn't been saved much very long. He was working at a slaughterhouse. You know, somebody started giving him trouble. You know, I don't know, one of these nincompoop Christians who think you shouldn't eat meat or whatever it was. He said, started giving him trouble. What are you doing working at a slaughterhouse? Don't you know that they're killing animals and the people are eating them? He says, well, the Bible says, rise, Peter, kill and eat.
Amen.
That's what he said. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. He says, I'm just obeying the Bible. Isn't that amazing how unreal people are, how superficial, how silly people have gotten in our immature age to actually think that animals have rights? You know why there's a water shortage? In San Antonio, of all the major cities in the world, San Antonio never will have a water shortage. Never. It's impossible. It's impossible. There's more water under our feet. You could not draw it all out this year. We don't have enough pumps to get it out this year. There's no way we could empty it. You know why? Because there's some blind cave salamanders somewhere that they think are so stupid they don't know how to go down when the water goes down. They think they're going to go extinct if the water goes down below a certain level. Something tells me that they won't, but you know, that's the way they think. Maybe they're right. I don't know. Maybe we have to protect these things. I'm not sure. But you know, I don't believe cave salamanders have any rights. Only according to what we desire. You know, we had a cat that went crazy one time. We left it in Mexico and it went crazy on us. Well, you guys have a sick sense of humor, I tell you what. This poor cat, man, we was locked in the house for a month at a time. We were gone for about a month. It was locked in the house and, you know, we didn't expect it to go crazy on us. We got back and that cat went crazy. I don't know if you've ever seen a cat run around a wall. It was like a 10 by 12 room, but I was trying to catch it and I got it inside a room and I closed all the doors trying to catch that cat and it would run around the walls. I'm not joking. It didn't have to hit the ground. It would just run around the walls. Just like that. So afraid of me. I don't know what happened to it. I don't know what ghost got into it or what happened, but the cat went crazy. But you know something? I finally did catch the thing and I killed it. And you know something else? I told my kids, come on out here. I'm going to show you how to kill a cat. I showed them how to kill a cat. You know why? Cats don't have rights, and I want my kids to know it. You know what's wrong with the rabbit industry? If you ever want to know, I'll tell you a good way to kill a cat. It won't cut you, won't hurt you. I know if that hurts your feelings, I'm sorry, but cats don't have rights. Some people are crazy with pets. We saw a candid camera one time, and they had this camera put in there in the pet stop. I mean, in the pet store, and watch people bring in their pets. Not a pet store, it was a veterinarian clinic, and watch people play with their pets. You talk about silly. I cannot believe some of the things people do with their pets. Kiss them on the lips, you know, and let them crawl all over them. It's incredible. This one lady had this huge lizard, and she was kissing it all over the lips. There's something wrong with people, you know. There is something wrong with somebody who has to give that kind of solace to a pet, or needs to get solace from a pet like that. There's obviously something wrong with them. Do you know what happened to the hunting industry the year the movie Bambi came out? It lost half of its value. The very year the movie Bambi came out. Why? Well, because, you know, poor, those mean old hunters killing the mama, this poor little Bambi had big old eyes and it was so cute. What is wrong with people? Something's wrong with people. You know what's wrong with rabbits? You know why rabbits don't sell? Just like, you know, rabbit is good meat. Rabbit's good meat. You can eat rabbit just like you can eat chicken. There's hardly anything you can do with chicken you can't do with rabbit. But you know, people won't buy rabbit. You know why? Because they're cute. That's why. You read about it. That'll tell you exactly why. People do not feel comfortable eating rabbits. They don't want to eat Thumper. That's the honest truth. This is not something I'm just making up. That's the honest truth. The rabbit industry will tell you that if you're going to package rabbits, you cannot put a picture of a rabbit on any package of a rabbit. You can put a picture of a chicken on a package of chicken, but you can't put a picture of a rabbit on a package of rabbit. Why? Because people, obviously, have never figured out where meat comes from. You eat sausage? You eat bacon and eggs? You know where cereal came from? You know who invented cereal? Seventh-day Adventists. You know why they invented cereal? Because they thought it was a sin to eat sausage in the morning. So they invented dry cereals. You don't believe me, do you? You need to read your encyclopedia. That's where cereal came from. You know why people eat grape nuts? That's the reason why. Post cereals, Kellogg cereals, these all came from Seventh-day Adventist, inspired beliefs. That's very interesting. Well, people are silly. You have to admit that. People are silly. You know, people are immature. I mean, just all over the world, people are immature. They're not paying attention to what's real. They're so superficial. They're so immature. They've never come to the point to recognize who God is, who you are, what God made you to do on this earth. And so they're just living in a dream world. It's like romance. You know what romance means? It means living in a dream world. That's basically what the dictionary will define it as. Living in are dreaming about a picturesque world. It's a dreamy, fictional world that doesn't really exist. Romance. You know, romance is one of the biggest sellers. Romance novels, romantic movies. Man, I'll tell you one thing. Romance is no way to choose a mate. Romance is there's nothing about romance, living in a dream world. You know how many young people choose the wrong person because of the dreams they have about that person, the fantasies they have about that person? Listen to me, you young people. Don't have any fantasies about, you know, we ought to go back to arranging marriages. We really ought to. There'd be a lot better choices made. Somebody who's not in the dream world of thinking that this guy is handsome, or he's strong, and he's, I don't know what he is. Man, he's skinny. He's got pimples all over his face. He can't even hold down a job. He not only got long hair, he got it tied up in a bun. He's got tattoos all over him that say nothing important. I'm telling you, people are wrong. Some people are not paying attention. They're living in a dream world. They're so immature. This world is immature. Don't ever choose a husband or a wife based on romance. You didn't romance her, did you, brother? Okay, making sure. I was going to make sure of that anyway. I don't want her thinking that you're some kind of a great guy. Well, maybe not. I'm not sure about that. We'll find out. There's something else. You know, we were at Taco Bell the other day. They have this little game there. You know, I don't know, you put in a quarter and, you know, you play till you win, whatever it is. It's this little deal. You move over and it goes down and picks up a piece of candy and drops it in the hole. And of course, if it misses the candy, well, it's not like you just lose your quarter. You just get to keep on going again. But you know, I got so sick and tired of hearing that stupid bocina, that stupid speaker on there saying, "You can do it. You can do it. Try again. Try again. You can win." All this encouragement. You know, I'm so sick and tired. We just went to the Half Price bookstore and Debbie's over there looking for Norman Vincent Peale books. Oh man, I am so sick of positive thinking. I am so sick of optimism. There's got to be some realism in our lives. You know, I'm tired of all this encouragement stuff. I'm ready for somebody just to come up and tell the truth. Stand out and tell the truth. Don't talk so positive. I get sick and tired of hearing that Robert Shuler on the television talking about silly stuff. I'm telling you, there's something wrong with a world that has to everything be positive. And it's so fakey and phony. I want reality. Tell me the truth. Amen. Don't tell me anything just positive just because it's positive. Tell me the truth. I know. Children need a time of encouragement. I'm not a real great encourager. I mean, I'm not a great teacher of children. I'm a great motivator. I'm just not a great teacher. I'm not a great educator. I'm just a great motivator. I mean, I'll tell you what. You teach your kids everything you need to teach them, and when you have trouble controlling them when they're 13 or 14, well, just send them to me, and I'll motivate them. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not real good with little kids. I mean, you just ask anybody who knows, who's ever been around it. I'm not real good with little kids teaching them out. Donnie says every time he'd fall on the bike, I'd spank him. Well, that ain't true. Just want you guys to know that ain't true. Now, I'd spank him if he didn't get up and try again. No, I'd spank him if he'd come over there crying and saying, I don't want to. I'd probably spank him for that. I'm not a great encourager. I wouldn't say, oh, please try again. You can do it. I think I can. You need to go over this little engine choo-choo. I think I can. So you'll feel better about yourself. No, I was much more direct. I said, you get back on that thing and you ride it. I know you can. I don't care if you think you can. I know you can. You watch. I never threw him in the pool to teach him how to swim, though. Of course, I didn't teach him real well either. Have you ever noticed how many people live their lives for fun? I don't know if you've ever been to the beach. We like to go down to the beach down in Mexico. We've got a couple of little quiet spots. We like to go down and spend a few days at a vacation sometimes. And you know, there's always some beach bum down there that has lived his life on the beach. Have you ever met somebody like that? Yeah, you have. They're all over the place. There's a whole lot of people that have jobs, and their entire reason they have jobs is so they can finance their boats and their skis and their skateboarding and their surfboarding and I don't know what else they've got. Sailboarding. I mean, that's all they do. They're financing their fun. Life is just one big thing of fun. But life can't always be fun. Life can't always be childish. Life can't always be positive. Some things are very negative. Some things are very negative. Some things in life have to be negative. I'm not saying you got to raise your kids the way I'm telling you right now. No, you want to encourage your kids, you go ahead. I'm no psychiatrist. I can't tell you all the problems. Maybe my kids can tell you all the problems you get from somebody like me raising them. I don't know. But you know, I just can't take too much sweetness. I can't take too much positivity. I want some truth, some reality. I want to get my feet on some solid ground. I want to grow up someday. I don't think we ought to live our lives just to have fun. You know, I don't understand kids that can listen to music all day long. I have a problem with that. I'm sorry. Even if it ain't that, you know, the sick music like Michael Jackson and Madonna, these people are sick. There's something seriously wrong with them. And I have suspicions that just about everybody else in that industry is sick too. However, I can tell you this. I am sure as I can be that it's not necessary to listen to that stuff all day long. I think they ought to be studying some of the time. Don't you think? Maybe they ought to mow the lawn some of the time and not with headphones on. Take those things off. You ought to be thinking real thoughts, not living in a dream world. The world is too immature. Christians are too immature. Your children are too immature. It ain't going to hurt them to grow up a little bit. It's not going to hurt them to see what life is all about. You know, some people think that children should never be shown death. I remember some people had a real problem when I took my young children in to see their mother when she died. I wanted them to see this woman dead. I wanted them to see that she was dead so they wouldn't have this question. Now maybe I did everything wrong, I don't know. But I do not believe that you should hide the truth even from your children. We had a lady that died, we had a lady in our church died down in Irapuato, and you know the parents were not Christians. And so they just took the kids and took them away. Actually, the man killed his wife is what happened. And so he had to leave. He had to run for his life. He ran, and she was dead. And the grandparents of these children took them in. You know what they told those children? That their parents went away on a trip. Wouldn't be back for a long time. Dara is good with children. I enjoy watching her, how she deals with children, how she's very positive. I'm not telling you shouldn't take your cues from people who know how to deal with children. What I'm telling you is there comes a time when they need to grow up.
Amen.
There comes a time when people need to stand up and take reality for what it is. I mean, some people need to face what death is, needs to face what is true and not what is likable or what is enjoyable or what is fun or what is entertaining. You can only have so much entertainment. So many movies is all you can handle before it's time for you to grow up.
Amen.
It's time. He said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I spake as a child. I acted like a child. I was a child. He says, but there came a day when I became a man and I put away childish things. Too many people are trying to live with their childish things all their life. And they never grow up.
Amen.
I think it's important that our children grow up. I think it's important that us as adults grow up. Grow up in every aspect. Why do we have to have a good feeling every time we come to church? Is that why you come to church? Because you have a good feeling? You don't have to, man. That's child stuff. You don't have to have a good feeling every time you come to church. Sometimes, some things are more important than having a good feeling. Just knowing the truth is more important.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Making a contract with the truth, that's more important. Making an obligation to God fit, having a commitment and sticking with it. You know, that's a problem with marriages today because it doesn't fulfill them anymore. There's a real problem with Christians today who are living in an immature world, even a Christian world. Even a Christian world. I think about spiritual things. Christians, some of this was mentioned earlier on this week, Christians who are more interested in happiness than they are in joy. It's an emphasis on happiness. An emphasis on, I want to be happy in my life. Not even realizing that happiness is an attitude. You can be happy if you want to be, but there is something even deeper than happiness. Something much deeper than happiness. And that's a joy that comes inside the heart. A joy. Did you know the Bible talks about long suffering with joyfulness? Colossians chapter 1. Long suffering with joyfulness. Did you know that's possible? And yet everybody seems to equate happiness with having money or having a good time. Or having an enjoyable job, or a fun job, or a good husband, or a good wife, or children who never cause problems. No, let me tell you something. Happiness does not have to do with that. Or maybe happiness does. I don't know. Maybe that's what you define happiness as. But there's something better than happiness. You don't have to be happy all the time. You can have joy all the time. You can be full of joy, even long suffering. Did you know that you can suffer and have joy? You know what the last letter come out of Watchman Nee's prison? Watchman Nee was in prison about 20 years before he died. His last letter he sent to his sister, he could not mention, of course, the name of God or Jesus or his religion. He couldn't mention anything spiritual. He had to send everything in by code. He wrote and he said, my joy is full. Last letter, 20 years. He said, I hope yours is too. My joy is full. Well, I understand what he was talking about. His joy was full. I've never been through that. But let me tell you something. There is a joy that you can have even long suffering. After 20 years of prison just because you're a Christian. That's the only reason why he was in prison. Just because he was a Christian pastor. And he stayed 20 years in prison. And the last letter he sent before he died, he said, my joy is full. You see, that's maturity. Sometimes it takes some hard knocks before somebody grow up. Maybe that's why God gives you a few hard knocks. So you'll grow up. Have you ever heard people talk about fulfillment? Somehow people have the idea that they should be fulfilled. That life is all about being fulfilled. I've heard about women say that they couldn't, they had to leave their kids in a daycare because they weren't fulfilled as a mother. Weren't fulfilled. I've heard them use that word. It doesn't fulfill me. I wasn't fulfilled as a mother. You know something? I don't think it's important, nearly as important, for you to be fulfilled as it is for you to obey.
Amen.
You see, one is an attitude of maturity, and the other is an attitude of a child. Did you know children think their mother exists to fulfill their every pleasure? That's what children think. That's why they're always saying, hey mom, look it. Hey mom, look it. Hey mom, look it. Oh mom, look it. And I just look it, and I didn't see anything. I looked and I looked and I looked. Oh, but hey, mom, look it. They believe, oh, mom, I'm hungry. Oh, mom, I'm thirsty. Oh, mom, I need this. Oh, mom, I need that. Boy, I feel sorry for moms. I'm glad they haven't learned the dad word yet, you know. Hey, dad, you know. Of course, if they did, you know, I'd just say, no, I'm too busy. But no, mom, you know, she's sweet and she's kind. And I'm glad there are sweet and kind people in the world. However, a child needs to learn sooner or later, and probably needs to learn sooner than we're teaching them, that life is not, does not exist for them to be fulfilled.
Amen.
That every single pleasure and wish that they have, it is not our job to fulfill them.
Amen.
That there are some things more important than self-fulfillment, and that is obedience.
Amen.
How about growth? How about maturity? How about seeing responsibility? These things are important. You've got to make sure, especially if you're raising children, that you don't raise your children to think that the world revolves around them.
That's
a problem in Mexico. They call their children mi rey, mi reina. Oh, give it a break before I throw up. Don't call him mi rey, because that's what they think they are. They think they're little kings. Boy, that's one thing we teach very clearly. As soon as we can, boy, we go right over there to Galatians chapter 4. Says the child differeth nothing from a servant.
Amen.
Until he's grown up. He's nothing but a servant, even though he's Lord of all. A child needs to bear the yoke in his youth. Doesn't it say that?
Amen.
Have you ever noticed Christians who put so much importance on appearance or appearances? And I don't mean physical appearances. I mean, that's kind of silly too. I mean, this is really due to my wife. If I look decent at all, I don't know. My wife makes sure I look decent before I come up here. I just put on jeans and a t-shirt, but she won't let me. She goes out and buys, you know, used pants for me or whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Christians who are more interested in what other people think about them than they are in what God thinks.
Amen.
Or even in what they own, what they think themselves. There are a lot of Christians who are more worried about what other people think about them. You know, that's where hurt feelings comes from. That's where hurt feelings come from. You're too worried about what other people think about you. I had a lady one time. I was given a study in her home. She wanted me to have the study in her home for her daughter. She had a 12 or 13-year-old daughter and a husband that wasn't saved. So I was having the study in her home, teaching her. And, of course, the husband would ever so often be sitting at the dining room table and listening or what have you. Well, she would always want to bring me out desserts. And that's fine, you know, but... And that's, you know, I try to be as sociable as I can or whatever. She'd bring me out desserts that I don't like. And I'd eat it. And that's fine, didn't it? You know, I did everything I could. She'd give me the dessert. I'd eat it down and I would not make any faces. I'd make it out like as if I just really enjoyed it and I wouldn't give her any inclination. But then she'd always have to ask, did you like it? And I would try to not make an issue of it. I'd say no. And she would be brokenhearted. And so the next time she'd try a different dessert and she'd bring it out and she'd always have to ask, did you like it? And I'd say, no. She never gave me one dessert that I liked. And she always had to ask me if I liked it. She told me, she says, that I'm offending her. I said, then don't ask. Just don't ask. I'm not going to lie. And I know some people are real smooth, you know. They could lie and say, you know something, that's the best flan I've ever eaten. That doesn't say anything now, does it? That's the best flan I ever ate, you know. It could be the worst flan that exists, but it's the best flan I ever ate. I don't eat flan. I don't know if you guys know about it, but I don't eat that stuff. Not if I have the choice. I don't order it in restaurants, I can tell you that. Some people are more interested in what other people think about. You know, that's just plain immature. You know, more churches are destroyed by hurt feelings than almost anything else. People just fall apart because somebody doesn't like something, or because somebody thinks you're fat, or because somebody thinks you're ugly, or because somebody didn't like the way you preached, or the way you dressed, or what you said, or how you walked away, or because the pastor walked out without saying goodbye, or because the pastor said, how come you're here only one time out of the month? You get your feelings hurt over nothing. It's time to grow up, Christians.
Amen.
It's time to say, I don't care what happens, I'm going to stick it out. See, that's a mature, adult way of handling things. I don't care what you say. You know what people have said about me? I'm even behind the pulpit. I'm one of the most criticized people in the world, I think. But it doesn't bother me. Say anything you want. It honestly doesn't bother me. Dale said one time, I believe he said, nobody naturally likes Billy. You know something? I don't care. I honestly don't care. I don't care if you like me. I mean, I'd like you to like me, but I'm not going to die over it if you don't. That's the honest truth. I was a nerd in high school, man. Anybody can get past that and get past anything. That's the honest truth. Boy, I was ridiculed in high school. What I'm trying to say here is that the world has gone immature on us, and they've become so silly, And I'm not just talking about tree huggers and silly liberals and people who think that animals have rights and they're all worried about everything that happens. I'm not talking about, I'm talking about in every way, walk of life. In the fact that we are so prosperous and that we can shelter our children and our children grow up so immature. And the fact that men, grown men today are so immature. But what about Christians who can't get over the simple little problems in life? They can't pass. They can't go for 6 months. If they don't have a revival or something good happen to them, they start wondering, maybe God doesn't love me anymore. No, don't you understand? God wants you to grow up. God's not satisfied with little babies. He wants grown-up Christians. He wants somebody who can't get their feelings hurt, hardly for anything. He's wanting somebody grown-up. He's wanting you to grow up and deal with strong meat. He wants you to be able to handle strong doctrines. He wants you to be able to handle gruff preachers. Yes, he does. He wants you not to be offended at everything anybody says. He wants you to grow up. He wants you to quit worrying about what other people think about you. He wants somebody he can point out and say, you notice this man? You notice this woman? Look how they live. Look how they're doing. They're doing well. Not somebody who's always whining and complaining about how terrible things are, or how difficult things are, or how I don't like this person or that person, or whatever else. It's time to grow up. You see, Paul said, there was a time I was a child. Even Paul was a child. And nobody criticized Paul for being a child. But there would have been a big criticism if Paul had still been a child after he was old enough to write 1 Corinthians. He said, I put away childish things. I think Christians ought to put away childish things. I think Christians ought to grow up. I think we as a church ought to grow up. We don't have, I think I as a missionary ought to grow up. I don't think I ought to have constant reassurance and constant positive encouragement every time I turn around in order to keep obeying God and doing God's will. Why do you have to have some type of encouragement, some type of prayer that is overtly answered for you to keep praying? You don't have to have that. Keep praying anyway and say, Lord, I'm doing the best I can. Why do you know what I'm doing? I'm confessing my sin and I'm doing the best I can with what you've given me. It's time to grow up, Christians. It's time to quit being so immature. It's time to quit getting your feelings hurt over every little thing. It's time to quit worrying about appearances. So many preachers are more worried about appearances of their church rather than actually doing the job God sent them to do. You preachers, you ought to know the difference. You ought to know the difference between what God told you to do and what's going to look good for everybody else. And you ought to stand tall for the difference. You ought to be the difference. You ought to be pleasing God and not pleasing men. Amen. It's like the Bible says. You say, well, we're not going to have as many people. I don't want to make any excuses, brethren. I mean, if there's laziness, if there's sin involved and you're just downright backslidden and out of sorts with God and out of the will of God and you've got complaints and whining and I don't know what it is that might keep you from being revived, maybe you've got something you really need to deal with. I don't know. But I don't know that it's that. Sometimes I think God's just wanting somebody to grow up and be able to take a big step over a bad valley. That's what I think. That's what I think is what's happening. Not just here in San Antonio, but there in Mexico, there in Querétaro and in Morelia and everywhere else. Hard times happen all the time. People are going through hard times all over the place. It's all over the place. This ain't the only place that suffered drought. In other words, what I'm saying is, it's time to grow up. And take God, take all His blessings together and understand what God is dealing with us and doing with us. And make it so that this church can just go on and on rejoicing in God without worrying about every time we go for a little space without a special blessing. Let me tell you something. I like special blessings. I want a special blessing. I want people to get saved. But you know what I'm sure of? I'm sure that God has got it all worked out and that He's going to save souls just at any time He pleases. There's nobody so far gone He can't reach down and persuade today. One of the problems we have is that Christians give up. Christians just don't have enough maturity to keep on keeping on. And you ask some of these preachers who've been around a long time, you keep on keeping on, somebody you've been praying for 30 years is going to wind up getting saved. Somebody you've prayed for 20 years just wind up getting saved, and it'll surprise you. But that's why God needs some spiritual maturity in us that we can handle these difficult times. We need to start acting like men. Acting like women, being mature, not getting our feelings hurt. Let's pray. Lord, I don't know. I don't know what all's wrong. Lord, I know that we love You. I know we can't always prove it, Lord, but we love you, and this, the people in this church tonight have come because they love you and that they want to serve you and they want to be revived by you and touched by you. Lord, I ask you to bless us, everyone, and Lord, I do ask you to visit us with good and make us rejoice, fill us with your Spirit and give us souls saved. Lord, I ask you to revive this church. But Lord, I also ask you, and I even ask you more, that you'd make us mature Christians, that you'd make us able to handle difficulties, you'd make us able to handle disappointments, you'd make us in some way well-pleasing to you, in some way, Lord, make us able to put up with some things. Lord, somehow that you could adventure us with some responsibility. Give us things, Lord, that only mature Christians can handle. Lord, that's what we're looking for, to please you. Lord, I ask you to bless us. I ask you to bless us this week. I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen.